Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants. Price may vary.
Remember the Thai cave rescue? What about the mission depicted in Black Hawk Down or the epic rescue shown in Captain Phillips? You've probably heard of all of these, but did you know that U.S. Air Force Special Warfare played a pivotal role in all of them? These airmen are the most highly trained warriors on the planet. Other forces like the SEALs and Army Rangers call on them to provide skills no one else can. Not many people make the cut, but if you think you can, visit airforce.com to learn more.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is Dave LaGreca. On today's episode, it's myself and Thunder Rosa. We preview Night of Champions with our very own Justin Labar. We speak to WWE Hall of Famer Tito Santana. And we speak to your strong women's champion, Willow Nightingale, right now on the Busted Open Podcast. The one and only Tito Santana. Tito, good morning, and yes. Thank you so much for the time.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Appreciate it. And there's so much to get into with you, Tito, and correct me if I'm wrong, congratulations, because I believe this is your last school year, correct?
Yes, June 15th is my last day, and I can't wait.
it's so funny, because it brings me back to my childhood and my daughter, the last day of school and how you feel, but this is like it for you. Like, I mean, I'm sure you're going to miss it, but yeah, it must feel good to, you know, to kind of put a period at the end of your career.
Yes, they asked me if I wanted to come back and sub, and I said, absolutely not. I'm done. I've enjoyed it, but I'm done. I put my time in.
Well, you know, Tito, like
Mr.
I said,
Tito,
this... Oh, go ahead, Thunder, go ahead.
Sorry, David. Well, first of all, it's an honor to talk to you as, you know, as a Latino wrestler. To see someone that in the 70s made a career when, you know, sometimes it wasn't like the easiest thing to be, from a Latino background. How do you feel that your legacy has been and what you were able to accomplish throughout your whole entire career for like people like me? And how do you feel now?
The more I'm out, the more people, you know, I spoke to Mario Lopez, the actor, and he told me that I was a big influence on him. And I've spoken to other movie stars. And in 2004, when I got inducted into the Hall of Fame, Eddie Guerrero thanked me for opening the doors for Latinos. And, you know, I'm proud to have left a good legacy behind me. And I always try to, you know, represent the Hispanics in the best way that I possibly could. And it's been a good ride.
And to be a positive influence, because it's got to be amazing, Tito, to know that you influenced and mentored so many people, especially in an era like the 80s that you were such a big part of. Because to me, that's still kind of like the golden era of pro wrestling, when everybody looked at those characters and personality as larger than life. It really doesn't surprise me that you influenced as many people as you did.
Yeah, I agree. It was the best time in professional wrestling. Unfortunately, we weren't getting paid like the new wrestlers are today. But we didn't do too bad. You know, it could have been a lot better, but it was good.
You know, Tito, for you and your career, you know, the thing I probably most remember is the feud that you had with Greg the Hammer Valentine for the Intercontinental Championship. And there were so many big moments. Obviously, you're part of the first ever WrestleMania. But, like, is that the feud that most people want to talk about? Is that your favorite of your career?
Yes, it is. You know, that feud, we wrestled each other close to 3 years. And, you know, Howard Finkel told me that that was the longest feud in the history of the WWF, the WWE. And, you know, now with so many pay-per-views, they'll never have a feud that'll last that long. I mean, we wrestled each other every night of the week, you know, for years.
Wow. I mean, I didn't know that. So the longest feud. That's something to hang your hat on. Go ahead, Thunder. I'm sorry.
No, it's just like it's so interesting when you say that you wrestle one person, you know, every night. You know, I know like, well, I will, you know, speak personally, like you always like to wrestle different opponents. But how was that rivalry help you, you know, create and maybe recreate different matches? Because I mean, it comes to a point in where you guys know each other so well that I guess you didn't even have to call anything. Like, how were you able to bring something different to the ring every night?
Well, you know, us legends that were good workers like myself and Greg the Hammer Valentine and so many others, we learned to listen to the people. And Mr. Fuji taught me that. He says the people will let you know what they want. But we always made sure that we had we wrestled in New York Madison Square Garden. Well, we knew what kind of match we had, and we probably had the same match close to every night with the same finish for 30 days. And then we'd do a promos again for 30 more days and do the same thing and do it again the first time round. And then we'd have a different finish for. I mean, we had lumberjack matches. We had no time limit, no disqualifications. I mean, we had the tape fist match. And finally, I beat him in the cage match. But, you know, it was easy because, you know, for us, I mean, me and Greg used to beat the crap out of each other, you know, because we used to get paid by the fans that we had in the ring. So, I mean, in the stands. So we had to convince them that it was real. So I used to come home and tell my wife, I've had easier street fights than wrestling Greg every night.
You know, a couple interesting things from what you said. First of all, and it's something we talk about on the show all the time, Tito, is about the realism. Like, you know, then there was still the veil. There was still the magic of realism and presenting everything like it was truly real. And then the other thing is what you just said about, like, wrestling the same person every night, like what Thunder said. And then you could do, because you weren't doing it on TV, and it was because it was in front of a different crowd every night, you could kind of do the same match night after night and then see what works and what doesn't work. Like, and then being out on the road and traveling, I think that's almost like a lost art in pro wrestling right now, because everything is televised and everything you do is going to be scrutinized.
Yeah, that was the savior for us. But let me tell you, the wrestling fan in Madison Square Garden and the wrestling fan in Chicago and the wrestling fan in L.A., what works in one place may not work in another place. So we had to be ready to make the adjustment. That's why we used to say, listen to the people. And you know, when you have an ear for the fans, you know, you figure out the fans do let you know what they want. And Mr. Fuji told me timing. And I used to say to myself, when I first started, timing, I can tell you what time it is right now, but timing, what are you talking about? You know, and then finally it took me a while and I was wrestling Fuji in a match and I was selling, and he told me to raise my arm, start shaking it, shake it more. He says, can you hear the people? Shake it more. And it's the first time that I really, really was able to hear the fans and what my movement was doing to control the fans.
One other question I've been always wanting to ask to you, because I grew up, I fell in love with pro wrestling watching Georgia Championship Wrestling. You were a part of Georgia Championship Wrestling at that time when I was watching. And Tommy Rich was like this uber babyface that everybody loved. I know you teamed with Tommy Rich from time to time. What was it like working with Tommy Rich in, you know, 82, 83, when he was probably the hottest pro wrestler that there was at that time?
Well, I kind of imaged my career and my matches, you know, kind of like Tommy, because, you know, Tommy Rich, and if you were a fan back then, you know, they used to call him Wildfire, because whenever he made comebacks, I mean, the guy just exhausted himself. And, you know, that's what I would do. You know, once you make a comeback and you get those fans going, you know, you want to try to keep them up as long as you can. And it's an art to be able to do that, you know, because you can lose them in your comeback if you don't know what you're doing. But if you have that energy and the fans see that, man, the fans just stay behind you. And you know, I always admired Tommy Rich. They called him Wildfire. You know, I think there's a different reasons why they called him Wildfire. But, you know, he was a wild man.
You know, like that time, and then you go over to the WWF. You're a part of the first ever WrestleMania. You're in the open. I mean, think about it. It's going to be remembered forever, because I'm sure back in 1985 that you didn't think we'd be talking about WrestleMania in 2023, but you were a part of the first WrestleMania in the first match at WrestleMania, which at the time, I remember watching the first WrestleMania, Tito, and I'm like, I can't believe they have Tito in the opening match. Like, it's not, because, you know, wrestling was different then. I was like, man, Tito should be in one of the main event matches. Like, did it bother you that you were in the opening match? And I'm sure you probably look at it differently now that it's more historic than it's ever been.
Well, I look at it completely different, but it did bother me, because at the time, Greg the Hammer Valentine and myself, we had the hottest feud. I mean, we were selling out big arenas without Hogan on the card, and that was the first time that was happening. And all of a sudden, I find out I'm going to be in the opening match. You know, so I was behind the curtain, and Vince McMahon came up behind me, and you know, I was kind of pissed off, but, you know, I was an employee. I was a company man. I was going to do what they asked me to do. Vince came up behind me before I went through the curtains, and I mean, Vince is the best worker of all of us. And he says, Tito, the reason you're on the first match is because we need you to get the people off their ass. You're going to set the tempo. And that gave me a completely different outlook on, you know, on why I am in the first match. And the longer I go, you know, I realize how important it was. You know, they don't remember a lot of the other matches, but they remember the opening match.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And it's going to go down. Like, whenever we talk about the history of WrestleMania, you know, one of the trivia questions is who wrestled in the first match. So, like, Tito, it's actually a blessing that you're in that opening contest on the first ever WrestleMania, because it almost solidified your name in the history books. And here we are, you know, in 2023, and we're on the road to WrestleMania 40, for crying out loud. Did you ever imagine that we'd be talking about that 40 years later?
We had no idea. I mean, Vince had a meeting with us, you know, before WrestleMania, and he says, do or die. He says, I've invested everything I got. Tonight we're going to either make it or we're going to stink. And, you know, we made it. I mean, he has a mind, you know, beyond anybody else. I mean, the way he could foresee the future, you know, of the business, he totally changed it.
You know, Tito, you're in the Hall of Fame, and as you should be. What was that honor like for you, being inducted in the Hall of Fame?
It turned out to be a real honor. When they first called me, you know, when I left in 93, they tried to get me to be an agent. They tried to get me to come back. And when I left, I was done. I was just tired of being on the road for so many days every year. So Howard Finkel called me on the phone, and he says, you're going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. Well, for me, it didn't mean anything, because it was going to be the first group to be inducted. And I didn't agree to it until I heard how much I was going to get paid. And then it's when I agreed. And then I didn't realize how big it was until my family from Texas, Vince flew about 8 members of my family from Texas. He sent 2 limousines to my house to pick us all up. We got to the hotel, and when I got out of the car, I saw how big, how much it had grown, and how the fans from Japan, from all over the world were coming up and, you know, wanted my autograph. You know, it was just right there I realized, man, this is a completely different business than what it was when I left it.
Mr. Tito.
Oh, go ahead, Thunder.
I'm listening to you, you know, throughout, you know, all your career, when you say that in 1993, you were done with professional wrestling and then you went into teaching. And like, did you just like completely cut ties and you're like, I'm not watching wrestling, I'm done. And when you did that, make the decision, how did you utilize all your experience as a professional wrestler into teaching?
Well, I played college football and then I played professional football. But when I was in college, I got my degree to be a gym teacher and a Spanish teacher. But let me tell you, I was done being on the road. I wasn't done with wrestling.
Okay.
Because for about 6 months, I didn't do anything. I just enjoyed myself. I played golf, learned how to play golf. But the independent market was unbelievable. I used to work 2 or 3 days every weekend, and I was making more money than I was making with the WWF full time.
Wow!
So
what?
You know, that was it was great. Plus, they paid all my expenses. You know, the independent market. If they flew me, they paid my expenses. They paid for my food. They paid for everything. So, I mean, what a eye-opener for me, you know, like there's no way I was going to go back 7 days a week when I could do it in 2 or 3 days on the weekend and, you know, make more money than what I was doing being on the road. Plus, I had to pay for my rental cars. I had to pay for my hotel when I was with the WWF and my food.
That's amazing.
That's insane.
That's amazing. You know, Tito, thank you so much for the time. We really appreciate it. We learned a lot.
This is former UFC champion Chris Weidman. Do you want to feel what it's like to get in the octagon with me? Right now, we are bringing the hardest hitting MMA talk on the planet to your podcast feeds with Won't Back Down, a SiriusXM podcast. Every Monday, I'm speaking my mind and taking you inside combat sports like no one else. Every tap, every snap, and whatever else is on my mind. Download Won't Back Down right now on SiriusXM, Stitcher, Pandora, or wherever you get your podcast. Won't Back Down.
Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
Every day is a great day when you're not worrying about your appliances and home systems. And that's what you get with an American Home Shield warranty. Unexpected breakdowns like a leaky faucet or a faulty water heater won't break the bank with an American Home Shield warranty. Because covered repairs and replacements are taken care of. Choose a plan that works for you and your budget, and then it's simple. When a covered item in your home breaks, contact American Home Shield, and their trusted and qualified pros will fix it or replace it based on the coverage limits in your agreement. Right now, you can take 20% off. Go to ahs.com/bustedopen now to save 20%. That's ahs.com/bustedopen for 20% off any plan. American Home Shield. Don't worry, be warranted. See ahs.com/contracts for coverage details, including limit amounts, fees, limitations, and exclusions. New Jersey residents, the product being offered is a service contract and is separate and distinct from any product or service warranty which may be provided by the home builder or manufacturer. Life doesn't happen bi-weekly, so why should payday? The money you earn could be in your hands today with EarnIn. EarnIn is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the EarnIn app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. Download EarnIn today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the EarnIn app, type in Busted Open under podcast when you sign up. Busted Open under podcast. EarnIn is a financial technology company, not a bank. Subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. When you hear that Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan, you're probably thinking, what's the catch? Well, there isn't one. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with premium wireless plans for just $15 a month. Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plans, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overages. All plans come with unlimited talk and text, plus high-speed data delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. It's crystal clear, and it doesn't kill my monthly budget. To get this new customer offer and your new three-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/bustedopen. That's mintmobile.com/bustedopen. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/bustedopen. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3 months plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Justin, this is a big weekend. Tonight with Impact. Tomorrow with Night of Champions. Sunday with NXT and AEW. I don't remember this many premium live events in one weekend. And then also we're getting NXT and AEW with two events going head-to-head on Sunday. This is an end on boot. It's a holiday weekend. This is a pretty unprecedented weekend we're stepping into.
It really is. You know, it's the perfect kind of recipe when you figure, you know, the wrestling landscape in the last several years, how more and more has popped up, obviously AEW leading that charge. And then also with the premium live events, you know, now shifting around and we get Saturday night events, we get Saturday afternoon events, depending on the time zone and where they are in the world. And NXT, you know, while it's not the NXT, while it's not necessarily, you know, selling out Barclays and things like they used to, they're reemerging, getting back on the road and with their own events. So it's and obviously AEW with their big week in Vegas. So, yeah, it's unprecedented. It'll be I'll be real curious, you know, what I'll be real curious every bit of data we can use, whether it's pay-per-view buys in the case of AEW, whether it's whatever numbers, you know, which can be touted by WWE from Peacock, gate for live events, what's trending on social. I'll be really curious because you're right, it's a holiday weekend. So, you know, they are fighting all of them are fighting for their audience's attention, live or otherwise. So, yeah, big weekend all the way around. Very exciting.
Now, that tag match to me is probably, of all the matches we're going to see this weekend, in my opinion, may be the biggest of them all. Because when you look at the Bloodline and you look at the story of the Bloodline and you look at Roman Reigns and how he's dominated, if Roman and Solo win these tag team championships, then this is the way that we can get Roman to cross over into Monday Night Raw, because it doesn't make a lot of sense for him to do that now. They said that this World Heavyweight Championship is exclusively for Raw and that Roman is exclusively on SmackDown. But if he's a tag team champion, those tag team champions are recognized both for SmackDown and Monday Night Raw. Maybe that's a way to cross him over and again get connected with Cody at some point in the future.
There are so many different creative scenarios that makes it so much fun as a fan to talk about. And I hope it's fun in some way for the office, for creative, for all the options they have. Because there's that option, right? You're right. He could cross over into Raw because he's now holding tag team titles that are still representative of both brands. Also, if his team was to lose, which is hard to imagine Roman Reigns being involved in anything and losing, because it's been, you know, I think tomorrow is 1,000 days that he's been champion, he's the world champion.
Wow.
If his team was to lose, you would have to assume they're not going to pin Roman, right? If his team's going to lose, Solo's going to get
pinned. Of course not.
Right.
Come on, Justin. Of course they're not going to pin him.
Right. So Solo's going to get pinned. Well, that's just going to create animosity and problems among Solo and Roman. And you know, so then we start looking at Money in the Bank. We start looking at SummerSlam. You start lining up, say, okay, now I think the next big opponent for Roman in terms of his world title is somebody in his family. It's the Usos, or maybe we add Solo to the list. So there's just so many different scenarios that it's really intriguing. Because you're right, Dave. You said it has the most. It has the most to give. It has the most dominoes are going to fall because of it. So. There's so many options, and that's so rich when you get into that that territory in pro wrestling stories.
And think of it this way, you know, you look at Roman, and you just mentioned 1,000 days. It'll be 1,000 days tomorrow that he's been the champion. Now you're in that territory right now, like at numbers, at like he's surpassed obviously CM Punk. CM Punk was the champion for 434 days. So he's left that completely in the dust. Pedro Morales, 1,027 days. He's going to pass Pedro Morales because, you know, there's nothing that's going to happen over the next 30 days that's going to be even a threat for Roman to drop that championship title. So that only leaves Bruno Sammartino's second reign, Hulk Hogan's longest reign, Bob Backlund, and then Bruno's first reign. You know, he is going to be, Justin, in that upper echelon. He is going to be with Hogan, Backlund, and Bruno. That is like holy territory when it comes to the world of the WWE. Think about it, Justin. When CM Punk was champion, they were talking about how long that reign was, and it was the longest modern-day reign. Man, I mean, he is going to be up there with the Brunos, the Hogans, and the Backlunds. That's telling you something about how much they believe in Roman, but again, how valuable Roman is to the WWE.
And as long as they keep doing, these shows, both the, you know, the Raw and SmackDowns and the premium events, and they keep touting, this is our best gate ever in this city in the history of going there, or this attendance or whatever, as long as, you know, and look, I know those numbers can be, they can manipulate a little bit, maybe fudge a little bit, but still business numbers that they do have to report, you know, in their earnings meetings every quarter, you know, that stuff is real. And as long as business keeps being as good as it is, and it's all happening under the time where he is your world champion, I'm not saying it's all because of him, but you can't deny who your world champion is when business is going good.
Yep.
There is no telling, Dave, for how long. There's no telling for when this is going to stop, you know, but any which way, even if he was to drop, even if, you know, he's right, he's going to pass Pedro because by the time Money in the Bank even gets here, even if he has a singles match at Money in the Bank, he's passed it. So, yeah, he's going to pass Pedro. And even if he drops it there, even if Pedro's the last one that he pops over in that illustrious list you just gave off, you then have to look at it in context and say, you know, yeah, this is him doing it and you know, from 2020 to 2023, this is him doing it in a time where WWE produces, you know, how many hours of programming in a week, how many hours of programming in a month versus again, not taking anything away from Bruno or Backlund or Hogan at that time, you know, but it was just a different run, different time, different expectations. There wasn't, you know, you're not on national TV in the same, you know, so it's just, it is quite remarkable, all things considered. And yeah, that makes this match so interesting. And oh, by the way, there's still the dangling of if the Usos are a factor at all. I don't know if the Usos are over in Saudi Arabia. I don't know if they're going to be part of the show in terms of, you know, are they ringside? Do they make themselves present? But their piece in this whole story too. And the ruffles we're feeling between them and Roman It's just, it's so good.
Hi, everybody. Christopher Mad Dog Russo here. Familiar? You should be. Well, now you can catch Mad Dog's Daily Bite each day as a podcast where you'll hear my thoughts and opinions on the biggest topics around the world of sports. NFL, baseball, golf, NBA, even the hockey. That you know you can count on. That's Mad Dog's Daily Bite. Drops daily anywhere you get your podcasts. And you can also hear me weekdays 3 to 6 Eastern on Mad Dog Unleashed, Sirius XM Channel 82, or anytime on the SXM app.
My number one wrestler on my power rankings this week, and that is your new strong women's champion, our friend Willow Nightingale. Willow, thank you so much for the time and congratulations.
Thank you so much. I'm very excited to chat with y'all.
This is
big. Oh my
god. Go ahead, Thunder.
It is big, David. I have so much respect for you, Willow. I think we talk about this huge opportunity. I saw that, you know, that you were going to be in this tournament. And I know that in the last couple, I would say the last couple of months, you've been on fire with everything you've done and everything you touch, and like the way that you're connecting with the fans and seeing how much people love you and like the reaction of this humongous opportunity. I can't even imagine how you felt when you were in the ring.
Pretty wild is how I felt. I think as a performer yourself, you're familiar with like having anxiety related to performing. Like I get nervous before every single match. It doesn't matter if it's like someone who is a year into the wrestling business and I'm like, all right, this should be pretty easy light work, or I'm wrestling in a title match. Like I have the same nerves, the same butterflies going into it. But somebody told me that means it's just because I care. But something like this, like preparing for the tournament, I understood just how big it would be. It's the first ever champion being crowned last weekend. And while it is strong, it's for New Japan Strong, I have a lot of confidence in my strength. I think right now I'm physically the strongest I've ever been. I also know like conditioning and being able to have like long bouts in there is something that would probably be required of me in the tournament. So I had really upped my training and preparation. So I told my coach about it. I was like, in 3 weeks, I've got like a tournament. I'm going to be wrestling probably a few times in the day if it goes my way, you know, if I can keep up. And he was like, all right, this is what we did for it. Like my coach, my strength and conditioning coach, the same person MJF uses. So he was like, all right, like we'll do kind of like an abridged version of what he did for his Ironman match, because he was like, we don't have time to do a full program. So in 3 weeks, this is as good as we're going to get your conditioning. And, you know, obviously it all worked out for me. My conditioning held up and here I am. New champ.
And again, congratulations. And if you were to make a list of the best women's wrestlers over the last, you know, 15, 20 years, the woman that you beat would probably be in the top two on that list.
Yeah.
So like you beat somebody who is, you know, a legend, one of the people that a lot of fans respect, not just for what is going on right now, but over the last couple of decades in this this revitalization of women's wrestling. And then you beat her to become this champion. I mean, you know, how do you feel about that? Because that is a bit of history in what you were able to accomplish last weekend.
Yeah, it's very surreal because like you said, she is extremely accomplished. I'm a fan of hers. And I think respect goes into what we do in wrestling, like through and through. But in an instance like this, like I remember sitting on the couch and watching when she made her like main roster debut on Raw. And I like went through the house screaming and my mom was like, what's going on? And I was very excited because I had gone to school in Boston and she was a Boston girl. She's a woman of color. And it really just seemed like everything she did, she truly believed in herself. That was something that inspired me. And every time, I'm not the person that company, like even before AEW and Ring of Honor, like if this company doesn't see the star power in me, I know the star power in myself. And she was somebody I could kind of turn to and be like, that is the attitude that I need. And she was in so many landmark matches. So especially going into this, I knew the possibility of facing her was there. And I wanted to do her proud as much as I did myself. And hopefully, you know, this is something that could earn respect from her and the New Japan fan base.
With that said, I think that, as you know, this is a new division in the New Japan area. Like, they didn't have women for a long, long time, and Mercedes Moné came and changed a lot of stuff. I know we had Kairi, who was the first champion for that, but I feel like when she was introduced into New Japan Pro Wrestling, I feel like she opened the doors for a lot more eyes to come and watch this division. Now you are the first ever champion from New Japan's in the women's division. How is that impact your life as a professional wrestler? And also, how heavy is the crown?
It's very heavy. Like, I think people at this point are aware that Mercedes is probably going to be out for some time. She's the only one who could tell you how long, exactly what happened to her. And I do hope she gets well and recovers as quickly as possible. You know, if I still have this title by the time she comes back, I would love a rematch. With that being said, I think there are more eyes on me than ever before. I'm somebody who's very used to people being on my side, people cheering for me and people rooting for me. And after this championship win, I did receive a lot of that. A lot of people saying you deserve it. A lot of people saying it's about time. But there have also been a handful of people who don't think that I can live up to what being a champion is, especially of this caliber. And now I recognize the fact that the championship's on me, right? They can't change that. And the only thing I can do is step up and prove to them that I am worthy of this title. So one of the things that I'm planning on doing is trying to find some time to head out to LA, train over at the New Japan Dojo, really kind of look over my schedule and reevaluate how much training I can fit into being on the road on top of what I'm already doing. So for me, those were like the first steps, because I know I don't want this to be something that people, when they look at the history books and they see Willow Nightingale as the first New Japan strong women's champion, I don't want them to see a little asterisk and be like, oh, well, she only won because her opponent got hurt and it was an easy victory. Like, that's pro wrestling, baby. That's how it happens. If you get hurt, the fight wasn't on your side. The fight was on my side that night, and here I am champion. So the only thing I can do is move forward as a champion, and that is wear this title with pride and do all I can to continue defending it for as long as I can.
And Willow, you were a big topic of conversation on this show yesterday with myself and Bully, because it doesn't matter about the circumstances. It's a matter of what happens right now. And as we're talking to you, you have that championship title on your shoulder, and you should wear it with pride because you did win that match. Yeah. And that's all that matters. As a matter of fact, I you know, this isn't a knock, but it's just the way that I feel. And we talked about it yesterday too. I'm surprised that there wasn't more of a feature for you on Wednesday than there was. This is a huge, huge accomplishment. You beating one of the best female pro wrestlers, one of the best pro wrestlers,
yes,
over the last 10, 15, 20 years is Mercedes Moné. And you beat her 1-2-3 in the middle of the ring. You are that champion right now. That is a huge, huge accomplishment. And I thought it should have been featured a little bit more. But that being said, let's look into the future and what this means for you. And, you know, being that champion, and I've seen it, everybody's seen it, we've heard it as well. Your fan base is getting louder and louder each and every week. And that is before you won that championship. So I would think moving forward, this is going to be mean a lot to you, your fan base, and your future for not just AEW, but for New Japan as well.
Yes, I would agree. This week, we are in Las Vegas for the Double or Nothing pay-per-view. We have a lot of plans already in action. We see that we've got Tony versus Jamie Hayter coming up. We've got Jade Cargill versus Taya Valkyrie coming up. And those are championships that have been spotlighted in our company because they are AEW championships. I hope moving forward that we can feature this more and more. But going into pay-per-view, those are the matches that we're going to see, and those are what are going to be highlighted moving into it. So I'm happy that we were able to get a moment to spotlight this and talk about this. And I hope that the next time that I am in the ring for AEW or Ring of Honor, I'm able to show my strength, show that I'm strong, as the title suggests. And, Tony knows what's in plan, what's in the works for AEW, and what Dynamite is going to look like next week. I would love to be included in that and really be able to show a fun championship match. But I was very happy to at least say my piece and kind of have a little hurrah. Walking in the back in the locker room and hearing everyone go, "Hey, champ," is something that takes a minute to get That's used cool. to. But, you know, I do it with a smile like this and say thank you.
So for those who have been following Willow, they know her story. They know that she's gone through a lot of hardships, and on every single hardship, she was able to overcome every single obstacle. And one of the obstacles was at a point in her career, I don't think there was doubt that she will come back and wrestle. And because of a very serious injury she suffered a couple years ago. And I remember when she did her comeback to the ring and on Women's Wrestling. And that was really cool to see. And I remember that moment, and I remember watching you pin Mercedes. And I said, this is freaking redemption for someone who loves professional wrestling, that professional wrestling was taken away because of an injury. And now she comes and she's becoming the first ever champion of a new division for New Japan Pro Wrestling. And just going back on what you were saying, that there was a lot of support, a lot of overwhelming positive support for you, but there was a lot of people that, you know, tried to take that moment and tried to take that bright light that you just shine with this win. And I just want to, you know, voice this again. She deserved this just as much as, you know, Mercedes would. She deserves this so much because she's worked so hard, and I'd never seen you one time complaining about anything. On the contrary, this woman has worked so hard on everything she's done. Every single thing has not been given. She worked and proved her worth for herself and for the fans. And now, like you were saying, David, the fans are emotionally invested with you, Willow. You deserve this. You are going to do a great job as a first ever women champion for the New Japan Strong Women's Division. And I personally cannot wait to see what storylines you're going to be in, the matches that you're going to have, and how even your better conditioning you are going to have, because you are ready for this. You are so ready for this.
Thank you. I feel like a lot of times people look at Willow Nightingale and they see the smile and they see the character and they see the energy. But I don't know that people ever give me credit to my wrestling ability. And I feel like New Japan is very much like a wrestling first company. That is the culture in Japan as far as professional wrestling goes, and that carries through this. So I'm really looking forward to this being my opportunity to spotlight that. Of course, always bringing the energy, always bring the fun, always bring the smile. That's a given. I can't ever go out there and not bring that. That's just who I am. But I really want to be able to spotlight my wrestling and have that also be something that people talk about. Yeah. And thank you. Thank you for all those kind words and recognizing that, you know, Hard work isn't something that you just do one day and then people say, oh, she's a hard worker. It's like, I've been doing this for 8 years and it's something you have to do every single day. So thank you.
Well, Willow, congratulations to you. Thank you for giving us your time. I know this is a busy weekend for you and everything that's going on with AEW this weekend. So the fact that you joined us, it really means a lot. And once again, congratulations on that championship title and hold it with pride. You deserve it and can't wait to see what happens with you next.
Thank you. I do appreciate that.
Busted Open is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. If you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more, please give a 5-star rating and leave a review. Subscribe today wherever you stream the podcast. Catch the full 3 hours of Busted Open Monday through Saturday at 9 a.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Foundation, channel 156. Go to SiriusXM.com/BustedOpenTrial to start your free trial today.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium-iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.